Well, yes, I don't know what happened, but I was speaking on Thursday night and I'm here this morning and I'm on, at Great Neck tonight. And I've got to be really honest with you. Typically, if I'm speaking and people say, oh, you know, I might come and be like, yeah, whatever, don't, you know, it's okay if you don't, you know. But I just have a sense that God is going to do something this morning, definitely. But also tonight, I just think the presence of God is just going to be very sweet and just going to minister to people tonight. So if you're able to, I would love for you to come. We're going to be talking about rhythms of grace. And I just think it's going to be a pretty special night. Only because of Jesus. Amen. All because of him, right? All right, this morning I'm going to teach a message called Don't Let Go. And you know what? I'm sure there's people down in Florida right now that are trying not to let go. It's crazy, isn't it? And I pray that you are praying for them. We've got a number of friends in Florida, and I'm just praying, Jesus, be with them. Those who are, you know, weren't able to get out of Tampa because, you know, they thought that hurricane was going to come up the East Coast, and of course, who knows that, you know, we all know that these things have a mind of their own, and they do what they do. And so I am praying. We've got a number of friends. The U.S. office of Wototo is in Tampa, Florida. And Greg and Lisa Phelps, pastor, many of you would know Greg and Lisa, pastor and live in Tampa, Florida. So there are some very near and dear people to me, and I'm just praying for them. And I just know that Jesus meets us in the storm, doesn't he? You know what, a number of years ago, Steve and I were at a big shopping mall in Sydney. In fact, we've lived here almost 19 years, so that's how long ago it was. It was probably 22, 23 years ago. We're in a shopping mall. We actually stopped at a little cafe just to have a coffee because isn't that just great when you just go to the shopping mall? It's just good to stop for coffee sometimes, isn't it? And so we were having a coffee and you know, we were kind of near the center of the, you know how there's kind of these center court areas in shopping malls. And we, all of a sudden, we're just, you know, I think we only had two kids at the time, so maybe 24 or 25 years ago, but we were sitting there and we could hear this kid screaming. And so we look up and this person's carrying this kid and she is going at it. You know, when kids scream and they've lost the plot totally, it's like, you know, oh, and so this kid is going at it, screaming. Anyone had a screaming kid? Know what I mean? Yep. Those of you who say you haven't and your parents, you're lying to us. Everybody has had a child have a meltdown. But this little girl, we came to realize as she went past, I want my mommy, I want my mommy. She lost her mom. And so the person who had her was trying to get her to the information place at the shopping mall, and which wasn't far from us. And so they take care of her. There's a couple of people. They pop her on the desk. And then over the loudspeaker, and this was a big mall, over the loudspeaker, they ask for, well, they couldn't even figure out what this mum's name was because the kid was, you know, when they're like, you know, it's like the ugly cry on a whole nother level. And they couldn't even figure out, okay, what is your mum's name? That's not going to happen. So we have a little lost girl here, and she looks like that, da 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 da. And so we're just sitting there, and then a couple of moments later, anybody lost a child? Oh, you know that feeling. It's like, there's not much that compares to it, is there? Where's my child? Where's my child? You go frantic straight away, don't you? That feeling. And I don't know about you, because I've lost children on a couple of occasions. It's like they came back. I found them. Okay, we've all lost kids, right? Come on. I didn't lose them permanently, although there were days when I wanted to lose them permanently, right? Now I don't know what I'm talking about. What am I talking about? Oh, the child's lost. But I say to people, you know, when you lose a child, instantly that shopping mall or that neighborhood, because Josh took off out the front door and walked around the neighborhood, it turned into a monster. It's like my kid could be anywhere. I mean, it's the absolute worst feeling. Anyway, so we hear this mom tearing, like she's crying, and she's running for her child. And you know, I'm sitting there and I'm watching this play out and I'm crying because I know what that feeling is like to be lost. And so she hugs that kid so tight, and there's a part of you that goes, I love you and hate you at the same time because you've just put me through the worst experience ever. So she's hugging this kid, and then she grabs this little girl and she's walking with her and she says, don't let go. Don't let go. And you know what the scripture says? I'm going to get back to my notes. Scripture says in Romans 2:4, listen to the Message Bible because Jesus says it so brilliantly. God is kind. I love that. God is kind, but he is not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into radical life change. Tell me what that mother did that day. She took that little girl firmly by the hand and took her where she would be safe. And that's exactly what Jesus does to you and I. And sometimes it hurts like, well, I'm not going to say what it hurts like, but it is really hard. But I want to tell you today, friend, God's kind, but he's not soft. He's no pushover. No pushover. You know how sometimes as parents we can be pushovers? But mom, please, please, mom, please, please, please. And after a while you're like, okay. Am I the only parent that did that? No, because they wear you out. But God says, I'm kind, but I'm not going to let you have your way all the time. And I'm not going to answer every prayer the way you think it should be answered every single time. And I'm going to make you walk through some storms because I'm kind but not soft. And it's in those storms that's the proving ground. And as you walk through it, oh, it's going to hurt, baby. It's going to hurt. But I promise you, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And you'll walk out of it. And guess what I've known? Because I've been doing this journey now for 30-something years. I forget the math. Is that I am a stronger person today. That my soul is firmly anchored in Jesus. Why? Because he never let me go. And those times where it was hard, I was reminded, God, you're kind, but you're not soft. You're a great parent because you want me to grow up and live the purpose that you have on my life. And that will never happen if I don't walk the way you are leading. So remember, he takes you firmly by the hand to lead you to radical life change. Christianity isn't just a list of behaviors. Isn't it funny? I used to work in the court system in Sydney years ago before I had children. They used to invite me out to lunch, the co-workers that I'd work with. And it's funny how people that aren't in church know how people that are in church should behave. Like, how funny is that? Like, why is it that the people that don't go to church know how the people that do go to church behave? Like, oh, you wouldn't do that, would you? But the truth is, it's not a list of behaviors. It's radical life change. If I choose not to do something, it's because my relationship with God is so much more important to me. So it's not like I'm not doing that because, you know, that's the code of behavior. It's I don't want to do that because I know the price that was paid for my life. And God, I want to give you everything that I am compelled to live this way. So Jesus holds firmly a hold of us and leads us to radical life change. But we struggle and pull and want to get away because it's just hard at times. But I want to encourage us this morning in not letting go. A couple of ways that we could let go. First thing is thinking you've always got this. Thinking you've got this. Boy, how many times did I get caught by that? Maybe in life, in business, in family. Maybe you kind of have a rhythm going. You know, family's going good. We're in the groove. We're going to church. We're doing life. We're talking about Jesus. Who knows, boom, left field, whoop, something unexpected, something that you didn't plan on, something that just hit you. Maybe it's a business that you've been humming along, you've been giving, everything's going great, boom, out of left field, something happens. And you're like, God, what is happening here? And for a moment, you're like, how's my journey with Jesus going? God, where are you? Where have you disappeared? You seem to be answering my prayers last week, but this week, nothing's going on. What's happening? Where are you? Do you care? Do you love me still? Do you want me to be a Christian? Isn't that sometimes, I'm over-exaggerating, but sometimes we kind of go through this checklist and go, well, if that's not happening, God mustn't love me anymore. You know what? One of the disciples, Peter, kind of ran head-on into this. He was chugging along. Can you imagine disciples, 12 men picked by Jesus, who was God in man? Imagine that. God picked you. I mean, you know, that'd make you feel pretty good, wouldn't it? 12 men, and they've been picked by God, and they're doing life for 3 years. They're seeing miracles, like absolute miracles. Like, okay, there were 5 loaves and 2 fish, and I don't know what happened, but everybody ate. I mean, everybody ate. And that guy over there, he couldn't see, and Jesus walked up to him, and he kind of spat in the dirt and rubbed it in his. He could see, and limbs grew. And I mean, you've had 3 years of this. You know God is real. You've seen Jesus working. You're like, miracles. And then Peter has a little falter because life got a little bit tough. And this is what the Bible says in Luke 22, 60 through 62. The Bible says, as Jesus has been arrested, remember, he's been arrested, and you know, they're about to condemn him to death. And Peter has a moment of humanity. Ever had a moment of humanity? Hello? We're all allowed to have those moments of humanity. And so someone comes up and accuses Peter. You were with that man, Jesus. You were with him, weren't you? And this is what Peter says. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Third time that he said, nope. 3 different times he said, nope, you're wrong. I'm not with him. Oh, but Peter, last week you were with Mary. You were the armor bearer. You were, in fact, this is what the Bible says in verse 33, if we pick it up a little bit before, last week, this is what Peter says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. I'm ready to go to prison and to death with you, Lord. Lord, I mean, you got me. You got me. You might not have any of the others, but you've got me. Oh my gosh, all of us, friend. All of us are going to have those moments where we think, oh, we got a handle on this. We've been doing this Jesus stuff. It's been great. We've seen God do the amazing things. This is good. Something's going to come along. We got to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Steady myself, steady myself. And then the Bible says, just as he was talking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Can you just, oh, can you feel that moment? The moment where Jesus looks at you, you just disowned him. You can't even, you try and put yourself there, but you just are like, oh my gosh. Even Peter, who did life beside God himself, his humanity kicked in. And I just want to encourage us today, none of us are self-made people. We need Jesus every day. In fact, the longer I do this, the more Jesus I need every day. I am 54 years old. I find myself bending my knee more than I ever have. I find myself walking around my house singing, Jesus, I will trust you. I will trust you. I know you'll never change. I will trust you. Jesus, I will. I will. I will. Our staff have been reading a book called Celebration of Discipline. And in the opening chapter of the book, this is what the author says. We are beginners when it comes to the Christian faith. This is what he says. We are beginners. And we will always remain beginners. We're only going to scratch the surface of this big, amazing God. We'll only scratch the surface. And he says, you know, he explains that, you know, in life, there's just times when we got to quieten our soul. Isn't that truth? Because you turn on, we've been watching the news yesterday, and I'm telling you, I was thinking, it's not that I want the hurricane to hit Florida, I don't. But it's like, I'm here, I'm like, surely it's got to be, you know, they go, the way they're going on, it's on and on and on and on. And there's a time where you just got to, I got to turn that thing off. I've got chaos, I got a hurricane going on inside of me. I'm just going to pray, Father Jesus, be with them. But he says, you know what, take a seat, find a seat in your bedroom or in your lounge room where there's no one around, sit down and just put your palms down. Just try this little exercise, put your palms down. When you put your palms down, you are signaling, God, I'm just giving you all the chaos, all the crazy stuff. I am just giving it to you. He said, just sit there for a minute as you think about things. Jesus, I'm just giving this to you. I'm just giving you that child that, oh, you know, I know you gave that child to me, but I do not know how to, I'm giving you that. And that coworker, the coworker that pushes every single button I have, that coworker does it. And I'm giving you the financial stress. And, you know, you just given it all. And then when you're done, and it might take a little while, because some of us carry a lot of stuff. But when you're done, you turn your palms up. Lord, I'm ready. I just want your presence. I just want you. Because at the end of the day, it's all about you. I was driving here this morning in, you know, on, I think it's Princess Anne Road, there's a cemetery. And I was just looking at, you know, and one or two of the tombstones, they're kind of close to the road. It's like, whew. And I just thought, I wonder what they'd say. I mean, we can't talk to them. But I wonder what they would say to us if they could. I bet they'd say, stop stressing. It's only Jesus. Listen, talk to people about Jesus. Love on people. This life is so incredibly short. Isn't it? It's so, so short. Second thing. So don't, you know, let's be not thinking you've always got this. Second thing is, who's in your circle? Who's in your circle? Who's in your ear? You might have your husband one side and your mother the other side. I mean, hello. That's another cause for chaos right there. But seriously, who is in your circle? What friends do you have? Who are your close friends? Show me your friends. Isn't it so true? Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Who are your friends? Who are your mentors? Who are the people that you have lunch with and you ask questions about life, about your whatever's going on in your world? Hey, how did you handle this? Maybe it's about a job situation, a financial situation, a family situation, a marriage situation. Who are the people that you can ask the questions to? Why? Because don't you want to be better? Remember, Jesus says, I'm going to take you firmly by the arm and lead you to radical life change. That means that there's a body of believers here that are going to give me wisdom, weigh in on my life to help me fulfill everything that God has on my life. Or are you just going to be, oh, well, I guess this is as good as it gets, you know, with that kid or this marriage or this business or these finances. I just guess nothing will change. Listen to me, friend. God is kind, but he's not soft. He says, come on now. Get with the program. Have you guys signed up for a community group? I'm in a community group this semester. I can't wait. Because I'm going to be with a whole bunch of new friends and I'm excited about it. But you know what? I'm going to be teaching some stuff, but I promise you, I'll walk out of there every week way more full than I'll ever be. Because I'll be listening and learning, and everybody brings to the table something so magnificent. You know what? The truth is, when you travel on a plane, isn't it true right now? We have to turn our phones off. Please, Jesus, let that always be the way. Well, you know, one of my biggest fears is that they let people talk on their phones on the plane. Oh, I don't know. Could you imagine that? You know the people that are not socially aware that talk at 55 decibels above the acceptable. Could you imagine that? It'd be like, they'll have to be giving out earplugs and who knows what else. But you know, when you travel on a plane, you turn your telephone off, and then when you land, you turn it on, and what does it do? Searching. Searching for connection. If you travel overseas, the same thing, and it'll pop up some random phone company that you've never heard of. But it's the same for us. We are wired for connection. And every day we're doing life and we're looking for who we are connected with. And fortunately for us, we're in a great church community. But then even on a broader sense, what's that small group of people? Proverbs 12:26 says it like this. The righteous choose their friends carefully. The righteous choose their friends carefully. So who are those people for you? First part is having them. Then the second part is listening to what they tell you. Because I could have all the amazing friends, the best friends in the world, but if I'm not listening to the wisdom that they're giving me, and if I'm not applying it to my life, it doesn't mean anything. A number of months ago, I was reading an article by Dr. Henry Cloud. He wrote the book Boundaries. And he was writing about this incredibly successful heart doctor in California. Very, very successful heart doctor. And this doctor was, you know, he was a premium doctor. If you've got heart issues, he's the one you want to see. And so you can imagine someone at that caliber of in his career and his ability and his professionalism, he carries a lot of weight. I don't know about you, but operating on people's hearts, that's a big deal. My daughter-in-law's dad just had heart surgery. He had to have a mitral valve repair. And funny thing is, this was a doctor in Texas. He was an Australian doctor. Isn't that hilarious? But literally had to cut down his chest, open it out, take his heart, his heart stopped beating, do the repair. So literally the doctor had his heart in his hands. Can you imagine that? Holding, we might have heart doctors here today. I don't know, but that's... You are literally holding someone's life in your hand. That's huge. So I cannot even imagine the stress and the pressure that this guy felt every day. But guess what? He didn't really have a lot of friends. And there's only one problem with that, is that we self-combust without friends. We can only carry so much pressure on our lives before the wheels start falling off. There was no outlet, no person for him to talk to. And so his life started spiraling out of control. And so eventually his wife and children kind of confronted him and said, you know what, we don't know what's going on, but if you want this family to stay together, there's some things going to happen, need to happen. And so, like a good husband, he wrote a list of things. I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, this, impressive list. 15 to 20 things of what I'm going to change to see my life move forward. And so he goes to see Dr. Cloud. And so he's heading, and he's expecting this psychologist to go, oh, wow, you're amazing. And instead, you know what Dr. Cloud said to him? You're going to fail again. And he was taken aback. What do you mean I'm going to fail? He said, for the very same reason that you got here before, you can't do this on your own. You can't do this on your own. He said, you need a support group. You need a community group. Where are your friends? He said, the doctor, as Dr. Cloud was telling, you know, writing about this, the doctor just looked at him like blank stare, like a deer with headlights. You've got to be kidding me. He goes, all right, I'll give it a year. A year later, he came back a changed man. Because none of us have it all together all the time. And we need avenues where we can say, you know what, I'm struggling here. I need that safe place to go, look, this is a real area in my life that I need accountability. And can I speak to the real grown-ups, the over 45s of which I'm a part of? We can struggle with that even more. We feel like we got to have it all together. Friend, none of us do. We all have to have those climbing partners with us. And I want to encourage you. Get those friends around you. Get in a community group this semester. It will change your life. Third thing that can stop us from, or just makes us let go, is dealing with disappointment. Dealing with disappointment. Oh, the big D word. Isn't that awful? Disappointment. So hard. About 15 years ago, Steve and I went to Key West. We went there for a vacation. We had some friends down there with the church, and he was going to speak there. And we thought, we'll just take a couple of days vacation. We took our kids. We went out this particular morning to a place to have breakfast, and we had banana, I did, banana walnut waffles. Oh, ice cream and maple syrup. Boy, now it makes me want to throw up when I think about it. But at the time, it was my pick off the menu. And some of you will have heard this story. But so we have this breakfast, and then across the road, after breakfast, we leave and go across the road, and there's this snorkeling tour. And Steve goes, let's go snorkeling. I'm like, I just had breakfast. I don't want to go snorkeling. And when we talk to the guy, they're like, look, it's an hour out to the reef. It's as flat as anything. You're going to be fine. I'm like, are you sure? Yep, you'll be fine. So we get on the cat. Kids are all there. An hour out, smooth as a baby's bottom, you know. And so we get off. You have an hour to snorkel. So we've got all our little, you know, floating devices and the snorkel things. So we get out into the water. The water is so salty, and I kept swallowing it for some reason. Like, it was really salty. I mean, I know seawater is salty. I know that. But this just like, and it was choppy. So it's choppy, and I'm swallowing all the water. So 30 minutes into it, the boat's way over there. Steve and the kids are here, and we're snorkeling. We're looking at the fish, amazing fish. And I'm like, no, they're not amazing. I'm feeling sick. And I turn to Steve and say, Steve, I feel really sick. And he's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I want to throw up. He's like, right here. I'm like, yes. And so literally, we're just swimming. I'm like, I'm dying. I'm going to throw up. And so I just start throwing up as I'm, It didn't even enter my head that every single tropical fish on that reef would chum straight away. Boom. Like, seriously, these things would jump in around my face. And then I'm like, I'm going to be sick again. Seriously. And I'm just in the water. Thank God I had a life jacket on. I'd have been on the bottom. I'm like, I want to die. You know that feeling? I want to die. I think I'm dying. In the middle of the first and second throw up, Steve had a waterproof camera, and he's like, honey, hey, stop right there. And he's taking pictures of all the, I'm not joking. I wish I was joking. Only that I felt so bad I would have hit him, but I felt so bad. I'm like, is this happening? He's like, kids, come and see all the fish are over by mom. Yeah, I wanted to die. You know what? I got back on that boat. Fortunately, I lost everything out to sea, so that was a good thing. I climbed back on the boat, and I was wasted. I mean, I was just out. I literally sat on the boat. It was so hot. Hour back in. Steve's like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I want to die. And so there was a Burger King just close to the... not to eat, people, not to eat. No. It was air conditioned and it was two story. And I went upstairs and I laid out and I didn't care who was there because I felt so bad. And you know, that's a funny story, but when disappointment hits, oh man, it's just like that. Betrayal. Oh, isn't it? Heartbreak. Oh. Friendship that just fell apart. Ugh! And you just feel like, put me on the boat and take me back to shore and get me an air conditioning because I want to die. Disappointment. It hurts so bad. Proverbs 13:12 says like this, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. A sudden good break can turn life around. So what do you do? What do you do? You face heartache. Maybe a marriage that's fallen apart. I remember a girl saying to me, a number of girls that have said, divorce has never been in my family. And I've just held her hand and said, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. This is one thing I know. Sadly, you're not the first, and you won't be the last. You will be okay. It's not what you chose, but I promise you, you're going to get through this. Financial ruin. How will we ever we've lost everything. Hey, I'm so sorry. It's happened before. It'll happen again to others. You're going to be okay. This is what I just wrote down, a couple of things. What do? You get in the presence of God again, palms down, give it all to him. Oh, give it all to him and then turn palms up. Jesus, I need you. Second thing, you meditate on his word. I'm going to get the band to come up. Meditate on his word. Maybe there's just a scripture. Just meditate on that. You know you've had disappointment, but you're just praying, God, that sudden breakthrough, that sudden glimmer of hope, that little light I see on the horizon. God, I'm just hanging on to you. You get off of social media, friend. Stop comparing. Stop looking at the highlight reel of others that makes you walk away just feeling worse about yourself. Don't compare. Fourthly, who are you listening to? Remember, everybody faces it. And I want to tell you, like Hurricane Irma, we hate it. But it's going to pass. It's going to pass. It's going to pass. Don't let go. Jesus himself this morning is reaching out, taking your hand. Wants to lead you to radical life change. Some of you are thinking, but God, I'm a good person. And I've done this and this. I've checked the boxes. Jesus goes, yes, you have. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Lay it at my feet. Lay it at my feet. Checking the boxes is good. You're a good, you are. God is kind, but he's not soft. He takes us firmly by the hand, leads us. Radical life change. This morning, I want to pray for two groups of people. First group, you faced disappointment. In fact, you're sitting here this morning and you're like, oh, it's just in the very depths of my gut. I just feel, oh, it's just not what I thought life would look like or this season would look like. I want to pray for you. I want you to know Jesus is there reaching out to you. And then the second group I want to pray for, I want to give you the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. I promise you there's no better way to do it. We're watching the world crazy right now. You can put your hope in a lot of things if you want to. But I was telling the girls on Thursday night, our hope in Jesus has to anchor our soul. So with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you are facing a big disappointment right now, I want you to lift your hand up. There's no embarrassment, there's no shame, big disappointment. Keep your hands going up, that's it. Just sitting deep within you, there's a disappointment. Thought this would look different. That's it. Keep them coming. That's it. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Keep them up. Just keep them up. No one's looking around. Just keep them up. Father, I just thank you. Your wonderful Holy Spirit. God, I thank you that you are so kind, but you're not soft. And this morning, I thank you that you're going to take each of these people by the hand and you're going to lead them. You're going to lead them and you're going to guide them. I just pray this morning you'd remind them that they're not forgotten, that you hear their cries, you've heard their prayers, and that there are good days ahead. In fact, great days ahead. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come into their heart and just bring healing and wholeness where there's emotional pain and emotional hurt. God, I thank you that you are the master at bringing healing and wholeness. Father, whether it's financial, whether it's health issues or whatever it is, God, I pray this morning they would just remember that you are on their side. Lord Jesus, touch them. Bless them. Thank you for new tomorrows. Fresh tomorrows in Jesus' name. Amen. And while every head is still bowed and every eye is closed, friend, where are you with Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know him personally? Do you know what it is, what it's like to know him as Lord and Savior and friend? Do you know that he wants to walk through your life every day with you? I mean, you might have been brought up in church and you might know about God, but you might not have realized you could have a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you once were a Christian, but you have walked far away. Friend, I want to pray for you. Or maybe you've walked in here today and you're like, Sharon, I heard what you said. I never knew this. Friend, I want an opportunity to pray with you. So all across this auditorium, if that's you, and say, Sharon, yes, could you pray for me? I want to enter in a life of knowing Jesus. Could you lift your hand up this morning right across this auditorium? And we would love to pray with you. God bless you. I see you. Anyone else this morning? Just lift your hand up and join this amazing gentleman. And we're going to pray with you. We'll just wait for a minute. Don't miss out, friend. Don't miss out. God wants to meet with you this morning. In Jesus' name. Fantastic. Well, let's pray this prayer. The gentleman that raised his hand, pray, and all of us are going to pray this prayer with you. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Thank you that you died for me.
Thank you that you died for me.
And right now.
And right now.
I ask you. Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Change me from the inside out.
Change me from the inside out.
Thank you for forgiving my sin.
Thank you for forgiving my sin.
And thank you that today.
And thank you that today.
I walk out of here a Christian. Christ in me.
Christ in me.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.